Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're here with Jeanette.
Hi.
Cassandra.
Hey.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Aloha.
Mackenzie.
Hey.
Lisa.
I have a cunning plan.
And I'm Justin. And today, what are we watching? Oh, Blackadder.
Yeah.
Blackadder the Third. Mm-hmm. And this is your pick, is it, Jeanette?
No, it's Angus.
No,
Because that's the thing. Do we usually do Blackadder at the beginning of the year?
Haven't we already done Blackadder?
Yes, but we're doing...
Not Blackadder the Third.
Doctor Who at the end of the year and Blackadder at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of course, the thing is that Blackadder will only be for another year.
And we're done.
Yeah.
Unless I want to be really mean and go with Blackadder back and forth as well, but
no.
It's better than the Cavalier years.
Let's not.
No. But yeah, this is where Blackadder gets really good.
Is this your favourite season?
Yeah.
Is it?
Season 3 is really good. Season 4 is also really good. But this is kind
second
of
and third are my favourites.
Second and third are,
I think it's slightly weird that we had all them on DVD except for season 3. So I only saw it, years later.
Right. Someone nabbed it from the box set, that's what
No, we just bought it individual seasons, and it's like, forgot the third season.
Fair enough. If that was sold out because it was so popular.
Maybe.
The third season's best season.
So which season is season 3, Angus?
It's the third season. So,
really?
Now we've settled that.
This is the season with Hugh Laurie as the Prince Regent, Blackadder as his butler, and Baldric as Blackadder's butler. So it's set in the, Regency period?
Yes. Him being a Prince Regent and that.
Guessing history based on educated guesses. I'm going to guess this is the 16th century.
No.
No, it's late 1839. No.
No, early.
Sorry, I'm wrong. It's the late.
Early 19th.
Yeah, late 1819th. Sorry.
18th or 18th, 16th, around that period.
Yeah.
Same period as Prince Regent.
No.
Because they also mention the Napoleonic Wars.
Prince George's son is really Prince Regent, isn't it? King George, sorry.
It's not really historical because there are so many things that are.
And it's also like stupid things like Pitt the Younger, which would make sense if you knew British politics from the era.
So, what's the overall story for the series, Angus?
Basically, the Prince Regent is a bit of a twit, a lot of a twit.
Which is historically accurate,
historically accurate. And Blackadder hates his job and hates the Prince Regent along with it. I don't know if there's much of the in the way of an overarching story besides just general bitterness at...
Every episode does touch on, even down to the missing socks, on actual historical things, where there was a servant to the Prince Regent who was stealing his socks and so on.
That's one of my favourite quotes. Socks are like sex, there's plenty of about, but I don't seem to be getting any, you know?
Yeah. And they reference something that actually happened. So, even though it is actually heavily
socks?
Based on history, but of course they move things around.
Because
the younger is... He was... Prime Minister later or earlier?
Yeah, something like that. But and also they made him like 12.
He wasn't quite 12.
Yeah,
he was a little older than.
Yeah, because like it's the British way of saying senior versus junior sort of thing.
He was still, I think, even up to now the youngest Prime Minister ever, and I think it's been a younger one. He was very young.
Yeah, like 30s, I think.
Which is young for a Prime Minister.
Yeah,
he was not a school kid.
No. I'm going to look it up now because I'm curious.
So is there anybody that hasn't seen Blackadder?
Kenzie hasn't.
You haven't seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're
out. You watched the other Blackadders though, didn't you?
I don't think I watched the last one, but I wasn't very interested in the first one.
You might like this one.
I was going to say, you really might...
vibed with
this.
This
is one of the better ones.
I was watching season 2 and 3 when I was your age, kids, so...
Yeah.
Probably didn't understand a lot of the jokes.
Especially this season. There's a lot of, historical mentionings you need to rock.
Mm. But I liked a bit of that. The last one we watched last year was the one where they had the fake boobies on their head and stuff, and I'm like, I don't really, I'm more into... I need something a little bit more witty and highbrow.
And this is very... This series I find to be...
Sorry, I just clicked. The person that brings the worst TV Mac and me lover. Oh, I need something a bit more highbrow. Dance moment McDonald's is eyebrow. I love.
Oh, my God.
Let's get back to Quantum Leap. That's quality.
Kenzie was the one who brought Mac and Me. That's why she's looking very awkward.
Mate, who showed you Mac and Me in the first place?
That's right. All fingers point to Lisa.
There's only so many TV shows and movies on these streaming services. And, I saw that one and I went...
Gasp the Friendly Ghost.
There are a few that we've got in the... We watched Gremlins 2 the other day. We've been talking about it since we had Gremlins 1. So, what were your thoughts on Gremlins 2?
It was so good.
Thank you.
Lisa?
Yeah, that's the one that she introduced to me.
Lisa?
Gremlins?
Yeah, Gremlins 1.
Yeah, Gremlins 1. If I didn't watch Gremlins 1, I wouldn't have watched Gremlins 2.
Oh, that's right. Give all the credit to Maynard.
See how she twists these.
Lisa, I like to set boundaries. We're not here to talk about things that you've watched in the past. We're here to talk about things that were the lowbrow comedy, apparently.
Oh, come on, fart jokes and boobies on the head. I'm not here for that.
Those are so cool. Fart joke.
I think you're the right age to learn how to do farts in your hands.
Can you not do a fart in your hand?
Nah.
One of the things I really like about the evolution of Blackadder is Prince Regent, like Queenie, is quite childish and they're supposed to be a position of power, but they're quite immature. But whereas Blackadder's changed from season 2 to season 3 and all like stage 2 to stage 3, I don't know what would you call it, but there's been that evolution, whereas he always had to kind of kowtow to Queenie, otherwise he'd lose his head. There's a bit more bantering, he's a lot more kind of acerbic, because he's, even though he's a manservant and he's below him, he still kind of has a bit more power.
That's gender based. Because you can't have a man be like that in a TV show with a woman, because that would look incredibly sexist and would not hold up today. But because it's a dumb man, a himbo man, and this quote-unquote, like, smartish guy, I suppose, it doesn't look as bad.
She has the power to cut off his head. Mm. Prince Regent also has that power, but the dynamic's different.
Yeah, but he's too stupid.
Yes,
He needs Blackadder more.
Because that's what I was going to say. Like, the fact that the Prince Regent is dumb, and Queenie is selfish and impulsive, but not actually stupid. So that's a different experience. It's more like his response to her behaviour is more, I need to please this woman who's got power, rather than she's an idiot who needs to be controlled. And so it's a different dynamic there.
Yeah, okay, sure.
And I think there's a... historically, Elizabeth was a lot smarter than Queenie, Prince Regent. So, you know, she was a lot smarter than she's portrayed in the TV series. But almost certainly, I mean, said she was clever, so maybe that's just flattery and we don't fully know, but she assumed Brie was a lot smarter. She's certainly a stronger person, but Prinny was an idiot.
I mean, in all seriousness, I have not seen much of Queenie's era at all, and so I'm just going off of like what you guys are saying, and it's like that one episode I've seen twice now and absolutely loathe more than anything.
Oh, yeah, because the more dynamics between them is more like, say, she's playing details, and like if people disagree, it's like, who's queen? And that's sort of like she has power and she's...
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. That's what I'd do anyway if I was explaining something. And I am not a queen and I'm not in power, but like mentally, queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't need to explain anything to you. I'm in charge.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, I'll get you killed.
Yep. Yeah. And it's like acting like a child, but not necessarily one who's... If a child is like more one who can do what they want and is a British kid rather than somebody who's unintelligent and doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like the Prince Regent. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I really like the way that they kind of showcase the difference between royalty and lower class and having, like, the royalty be really dumb. It's kind of that throughout all different cultures.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Because in Japan, they have a constant thing of royalty being portrayed as a derpy tiger and the people being portrayed as a watching crow. And I found this out because of K-pop Demon Hunters, which is why they chose what they chose. But at the same time, it's always interesting that that has always been the case, is that it's the masses that continue to watch on while the idiots run the country. Mm. And it goes into an old Latin saying as well, which is like none of the portrayals of people in power seem to be smart. And so you've got the voice of the people, Vox Populi, Vox
Dei.
Yeah, that's it. Vox Populi, Vox Dei. And so the voice of the people is the voice of God. But people in power never seem to say that or go by that thought process at all because they don't think the people have any power. And I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
Hashtag has been hotel reference.
Also, drink? As well, no. The Queenie season of Blackadder is very Shakespearean.
Yes.
And even though they would never do the queen, so you've got the nanny is literally like the nanny from Romeo and Juliet. A lot of those archetypes, those characters. Mm. And I kind of went, oh, the queen doesn't really fit into that. But to me, it seems a bit like King Lear, where the king started off very formidable, but it also goes crazy. And the fool who's the one who's supposed to be the crazy one is the one that's giving the wisdom. And it always seems like, because that is Shakespeare's era as well, I wonder whether it was intentional to make it really Shakespearean.
I would say so, because Ben Elton did go on to do Abstract Crow.
Yeah. Which
so,
is about Shakespeare. Yeah.
Which is, but that was like, what, isn't that, 30 years later or something? Yeah.
But Shakespeare informs a lot of English culture.
True.
It very definitely reminds me actually a little bit of Twelfth Night, the dynamic between the sort of prince or the leading woman, part of it. Maybe I've just been watching Twelfth Night. But yeah, that might be why. But you see them in those archetypes in a lot of Shakespeare's plays.
Yes. And I wonder if season two is very Shakespearean, then what would the third season be?
Oh, it's. I wouldn't say it's tied specifically to a British literary tradition in the same way, but it's definitely got a lot of pop culture references. Mm. It's definitely got a lot of references to politics of the era. So there's certain jokes that only work if you know your history or you know the culture of the time, and it's not Shakespearean, but it's definitely of the era. So like, for example, each episode is named in a passive parody of Sense and Sensibility.
Yes. So I wonder whether there's a bit of, like, I guess without it being a little bit of Jane Austenism in there, maybe.
Social satire.
Yeah.
It's definitely got the social satire.
And it's definitely also, comparison to the other seasons, there's also characters that are like the watering hole that Blackadder goes to, and it's just run by even lower class people that you haven't seen in previous seasons. So you get to have that dynamic as well.
Which really only started to come in during that era when lower class people were then starting to read and would read, novels and fiction.
I don't
fiction.
Think Mrs. Miggins is probably very high on the literacy scores.
No, I'm just saying, you know, there became an era when fiction became really big in that type. I don't know whether that's the right era.
Fiction was fairly new and very popular, but still it wouldn't have gone below the middle classes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's featured in the credits. I mean, they show him going through a bookcase looking for a romance of the period.
Yes, that's
and,
it.
So, and then it was considered a little bit risque, but probably not.
Reading was considered a bit like review computer games today sort of thing. It wasn't quite respectable. It was a little bit, you know, sitting reading a novel, you're wasting your time
and
reading those
and also
degenerate novels.
Yeah, and the assumption that it's not reading anything particularly morally upstanding.
Yes, that's right. But the Prince Regent really admired some of Jane Austen's work, and she hated the Prince Regent, and she had to dedicate one of her novels to him, which she was not happy about.
So it is the right era then,
This is that era. But really, general literacy didn't come until the 1850s, 1860s, was when the working class. Apart from Scotland, which had ride literacy much earlier, they were ahead of everywhere else with general literacy. They had ride free education, and Scotland was the only place where a working class person could get to university.
Yeah.
It was actually possible through a series of, you know, scholarships and help.
But then they have a lot of Scottish inventors and Scottish, you know, they kind of led that way.
Also,
they
did. Also, I've said that before, when Pitt the Younger became Prime Minister, he was 24.
Yes, so he was, I think, still the youngest Prime Minister ever. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
Well, shall we dive into this?
Yes. So, which episode did you pick?
I can't remember what I said before.
You were thinking the Scottish play.
Yes, I was thinking the Scottish play with the actors.
Okay. You mean Macbeth?
Yes.
You can't say that.
Why did you?
You don't say it.
Oh, no. You just don't say it when you're actually performing the show and when the show is live. Otherwise, it's okay to say Macbeth.
apparently one of the Shakespearean companies in Sydney, I think.
Is this appropriate to the podcast?
It's kind of adjacent if you're talking about Macbeth.
Yes, yeah.
One of the Shakespearean companies in Sydney are doing a modernised version of Macbeth called Mackenzie. And it's about,
that is very relevant.
It's basically like, what would happen if Macbeth was a Disney Channel child star and Lady Macbeth was her showbiz mummager and her mother manager.
Yeah. I love that. That's amazing.
And I'm like, I just keep seeing all these ads for Mackenzie the musical and I'm like, oh my God.
Is that in Sydney only?
I think it's Sydney, yeah. Aww. It's the Bell Shakespeare Company.
Okay. All right, we'll get on.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah.
On that note.
So not relevant, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's still cool.
Let's get this cunning plan underway.
Okay. All right.
That was real dorky, dude.
Cut that out.
Oh, cut that out.
That better stay in.
So that was Blackadder. What do you think, Jeanette?
Oh, I love this series. I think it really is peak. This and the next one are my favourite. So it's clever. There's lots of references, lots and lots of references. Keane was, of course, a real actor. I think the other name, I did pick up the other actor's name, but I'm sure he's based on a real actor. And they probably did really overact.
Act for the back of the room.
Yes.
Yeah.
And costumes are really well done. Like all the details, the sets, the costumes. That
dandy makeup.
Yeah.
Where it looks so overdone, but that was actually how they would do it back then.
Yeah, so all up, I think this is a really well-done series. I enjoy it. It is so funny watching Tony Robinson as Baldric now after years of watching Time Team. And I know Tony Robinson far more through Time Team now, and it's like going back to this, and it's like almost I have to remind myself that it's the same person.
He studied archaeology, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Does he have a PhD in it?
No. He just did an extramural course. And then he became friends with Mick Aston, who was one of the founders of Time Team, and Mick asked him if he'd get involved, and he was like, yes, please. But he still is the patron of Time Team, the Patreon Time Team. He's the patron of the Patreon. It's very confusing.
Isn't he touring soon? I think I saw something. He's doing a tour. Everyone picks their phones up and double checks. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
He has been to Nebraska. He did one of his TV series. Was it the History Walks or something? I don't know.
10th of February, guys.
Okay.
He's just basically getting up talking about his life or something.
Cass, what did you think of the episode just then?
I think it was okay. I'm just trying, because I haven't seen the series for a while, and I'm thinking some of the other episodes better than this. I think it's just because it's a lot more sarcastic than the previous season. So it feels like the fact that being a bit less creative because he's just being a sarcastic git comparison to some of the stuff he does in the next series and the previous series. It's almost playing a bit more simpler than what I know this series can bring out of him. So it's like, oh, okay, they're just trading pathetic bards. Barbs.
Against one another,
And it feels like trying to make insults that are pathetic because they want to have it be spoken by the Prince Regent or by the two actors, and trying to make them sound as pathetic but still work, and it almost does. Yeah, I know.
I think Blackadder is one of those shows where no matter what episode you're watching, you're kind of, and I think this is a little bit, IT Crowd as well is a little bit like this, no matter which episode you watch, and Black Books for that matter, you're thinking about, oh, this other joke in this other episode. You're always thinking about
all the other episodes.
So you're always feeling like you're missing out a little bit on those other
things. I completely disagree. Night at the Opera, best episode to show anyone for IT Crowd. I don't think there's anything better.
It encapsulates
Workouting, sorry.
Yeah.
But it encapsulates it perfectly. Yeah. And I think this is a good episode that does encapsulate a lot.
But that Workouting episode in IT Crowd doesn't feature Mr. Renham or Mr. Denham. It doesn't feature.
But it doesn't need to.
No, but those they really make a lot of those episodes and are really good. Mm-hmm. It's definitely great episode.
I would argue that without them it doesn't change the vibe of the show. You're still getting that.
To me the show is Moss and
Jen and Roy.
They're the three.
But I still feel like that fourth character is significant.
Yeah.
Because realistically, I feel there's only, what, like five characters in the show that are recurring.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, there's Mr. Denham / Mr. Renham, who are the father's son.
Is it Richmond?
And then there's Richmond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the fifth character.
He's only first season, isn't he?
No, not really. He spots all throughout.
Yeah, okay.
Comes and goes. Mr. Renham or Mr. Denham, the father, is only in the first season.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah.
Anyway, this is an IT crowd podcast.
Black Lotus is still very much like that, where you watch an episode and you're kind of...
Yeah, because I can definitely see, like, there's the vacation episode, but I feel like I'd prefer to watch the book episode.
Mm.
And there's the book episode, like the bookshop episode, but I prefer to watch... Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Travel Writer.
Yes.
Travel Writer's good, but then what about Nemo and Meepo?
And also, because like...
Hang on, are we talking IT Crowd or Black Books?
Books. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Pull it back.
To bring it back.
Yeah.
I still think this was a good episode.
Yeah,
it was still funny. It's been a long time since I've actually seen the entire series. So yeah, I think this was a good example of this season of Blackadder. In all seriousness, I remember not loving this episode, but watching it now, I really enjoyed it. And yeah, there are sassy bits and pieces, but I mean, Jeanette said it perfectly beforehand, like, Blackadder is riddled with references. And I think that's something that I don't entirely enjoy about Blackadder, because I'm not cultured in the same way that you guys are. I'm really not. I didn't grow up with, like, Blackadder and Shakespeare and things like that. Well, I mean, I was brought up with Shakespeare, but I was brought up with the one that you hate.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, no...
Macbeth.
No. The Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet. My culture was entirely different.
Yeah.
So for me, The Simpsons hits hard every time. Absolutely love it. And I feel like, comparatively, Blackadder's a great example of... riddled with a whole heap of culture and information that I just don't understand, whereas Simpsons, Angus just won't understand. And so, there are definitely better episodes and stuff, but this was a great episode because I could actually enjoy it. I even wrote down notes, which I don't normally do. For example, the two actors from Blackadder, Hugh Paddock and Kenneth Connor, who are the two actors in the show...
Yeah.
Very heavily, I can see that there was inspiration in Alice in Wonderland's 1999 movie between Hugh Lloyd and Peter Eyre, where they're like, a letter for the Duchess from the Queen. A letter from the Queen for the Duchess. Did I get that right? No. And I love that because there was that over-the-top acting was really nice.
Yes.
Very similar acting styles. Hugh Laurie, absolute... banger of a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing actor, even when he's an absolute dunce. If you compare him to everything else he's in, he's so malleable. He's like a wonderful bit of clay.
Yeah, he's so good. Even when he was just standing there watching other people talk, he was still on. Like, his body language was like... He kind of holds himself like all this gangliness, you know? And
But he's such a show-stealer. And that is amazing. Like, you only get that out of very few actors. Like, Alan Tudyk, show stealer.
Yeah.
Sir Patrick Stewart, absolute show stealer when he's on the screen. Angus, absolute show stealer when he's in a room full of people. Like, that's the sort of energy that Hugh brings and is just fantastic. It's why I think this is the better season out of all the others. Because when he's on screen, you're, like, mesmerised. Yes. He is just fun to watch. He's eye candy.
He was standing there with two guys whose job was to badly overact and ham it up.
Yes.
And you still couldn't look away from him. Yeah. Yes.
And he still hammed it up better as well. Like, they were trying to ham it, and he just pushed it even further.
Yeah.
Somehow did an even better job at overacting than they did. And it was beautiful. Also, bladder at the end.
Yeah.
Loved it. I'm here for bladder. Always have, always will. So sassy. Very good. Very relevant to Mackenzie at the moment, too, who didn't watch a lick of it. But, Mackenzie, what did you think?
Oh, I watched some of it.
Oh, really?
I thought it was cool for the bits that I watched.
That was very diplomatic. Yeah. Can you repeat the laugh that you did?
They're not laugh tracks. It was live audience, but we informed Mackenzie that the laugh tracks were put there so that you knew when to laugh. And when one of the laugh tracks kicked in, Mackenzie...
It was very good.
Yeah,
it was great.
What did you enjoy about it? What did you not enjoy about it?
I don't really know. It's just the comedy in it.
You're studying acting at the moment, right? Or you're like doing a little bit of acting outside,
yeah?
How do you feel that stood in reality to you acting on stage? Did you find any things that you saw and were like, ha, that I can relate to that and I find that funny? Or that's not how you do things, that's so awkward and funny?
I don't know.
Okay, that's
all
right.
I think those were the bits I didn't completely watch. I watched, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
See, when I tell her to stop what she's doing and pay attention to the show, she rolls her eyes at me.
No, to be fair, you're also on your phone a lot, so.
I was actually Googling stuff to do with the show, though.
Well, immediately afterwards, this is a meme that I sent you. It was probably
Amazing enough, we caught on the recording. The recording button was pressed, and then we just hear Mackenzie go, oh, no, you Lisa, you said something about, are you shitting right now?
Okay, to edit this part.
No, we're leaving this in.
I had to bring it up, so it's got to remain.
So I guess there's no point on asking you what you thought. You really weren't paying attention.
No, I was paying a lot more attention than Mackenzie was.
Okay, what was your favourite part and what was your least favourite part?
It's funny. Like last time, I was like, I wouldn't have picked that episode. I could pick several episodes I would have picked. Yep. That one I wouldn't
say would have been the worst episodes, like the Mac and me.
This is never going to stop, is it?
This wouldn't have been the episode I picked, but I think it was pretty much a good indicative idea of what Blackadder 3 was.
Yes, indicative of Season 3.
Definitely indicative of Season 3. It's probably, I wouldn't say it's one of the best, it's not one of the worst, but then I think with Season 3, I don't feel like there's episodes where you're like, this is the best episode, you know? Yeah, I'm looking through and I'm going, oh, there's the one where they rewrite the dictionary, there's the one with the Dick Turpin character, there's that, and I'm like, I probably would have picked those, but on a whole, I don't think they're much better or worse than the one we watched today.
Yeah,
I think they're all
the thing, they all kind of,
they're a bit steady.
Whichever one you watch, you're always like, oh, this other one's great, though. It's a weird Moorish thing where it's like the grass is greener on the other side.
I think Blackadder 2 was very polarising. There was episodes I really loved and episodes I just didn't like. Yeah. Season 3, I think they're all pretty much on a par.
I think that's indicative of a good show, though, when there's a lot of episodes where you're like, oh, yeah, this is good. I'll just sit down and watch the entire season.
Yeah.
That's what we did last
time. Why not? As opposed to like, oh, I really just need to watch this one episode because when I watch the second one, I cannot be bothered.
Well, the whole season takes about the same amount of time as a movie anyway, so you can pretty much belt out the whole season. A couple of hours, really.
Yeah.
Just on your point about the storylines and things, I mean, there's nothing special about many of the stories, perhaps except the last one, but I think it's the actors that really make this show.
The hammy actors.
I mean the three main actors.
Oh, are, the actors,
The actors.
The actors. Not the people who were playing the actors, actors,
Hugh Laurie, Tony Robinson.
Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I just want to do a shout out to this because it's very relevant. The other day, Angus and I were working, and I think you should keep this in because it's funny. Anyway, the other day, Angus and I, we were part of a youth film project. It was great. I was sitting in the green room with a couple of the actors and obviously Councillor Cody Davies, who was given a role in it because the youth space absolutely love him. He was helping them practice their lines, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to help you practice your lines. And as though he was in Hamlet, he raises his hand to the sky like he's holding a skull and goes, pizza delivery! And I have it on footage, but it was the funniest thing to watch, and those actors actually made me think of Cody.
Yes!
It was very funny. It was very funny.
It reminds me that there's a sketch on one of the Young Ones episodes where they get this guy coming and he's supposed to do like a courier delivery, or he's delivering a Lexi Sal in a parcel for the Transvaal. It then turns into like a 5-minute thing because he's absolutely hamming it up, acting badly, and then goes off stage and starts talking really loudly while they're trying. That character just reminded me of what we watched tonight. Definitely that over the top self involved hammy actor.
Do you think this is the birthplace of hammy acting, or do you think there's something that's a bit more hammier than this? Like, do you think this specific episode was one of the starters for over the top, over Shakespearean acting, or do you think that
they've taken that from
whereabouts?
Oh, from that era of acting as well.
From history. Well, I mean, they were part of the Footlights, which means that they probably would have gotten it from the Footlights during their stand-up times.
Yeah. But even in that same hand, like, they, in that industry, you've got your Shakespearean companies and you've got repertory actors. And
is it theatre all around England? Yeah. And, of course, some of the local theatres are going to be great, some not so great. They've, you know, every little town had its theatre. That this is theatre everywhere. Yeah,
I think it's because, like, I don't think of Australia as a very theatre-y place.
No, we're not a very theatre-y place.
Well, not specifically South Australia. In Sydney, though, definitely. Mm. Especially in, like, Newtown when I was growing up, there was, like, a lot of theatre-related stuff. Yeah. And, I mean, there was a theatre scene when I was younger in Adelaide. There was, like, a lot of amateur theatre. I've done quite a bit. Mm. But it kind of doesn't exist anymore, and that's because of the capitalistic society in which we live.
Mm. You've never had theatre like England has, though, and England is losing it too.
Yeah.
They're losing it at the moment.
Well, it's not every day someone donates a skull to the Shakespearean theatre, so they're probably running out.
Yeah. They just keep the one in storage. I don't think it's broken,
Unless Paul York.
I knew him, Horatio.
How old do you think it held up? Is it a show that people could still watch and enjoy? I think so.
Don't know. Even 10 years ago, I've always gone, absolutely, absolutely. And then I kind of watch it tonight and go, like, it's lost on her. There's other shows that she would watch and she would get into, but, this went straight over.
I don't know. I think maybe in 20 years' time, or, sorry, 10 years' time, geez, you're 11. In, like, 10 years' time, she might sit down and go, oh, I remember Mum trying to make me watch this. Mm. Let's watch it now. I feel like that might be appropriate when she hits that kind of age spot, because there's a lot of kids, especially in youth space now, that are like, oh, yeah, I've got millennial parents, and they were showing me, like, Dexter's Laboratory and things like that, and I'm just sitting here going, I'm not that old, but I guess, you know, you're 18 and you were born in, like, what, 2008 or something ridiculous. So I think it could hold up, but you've really got to want it. You've really got to want it, and I think you've really got to have a lot of that basic understanding and that basic cultural understanding in order to find the enjoyment from it.
I'm going
to
say, you're saying, I've been around a lot longer than you, Babel, and, you know, through uni, through various things, when I was your age, when I was younger, I wouldn't have had anywhere, and I wouldn't have, when I first watched this, picked up on half the cultural references that I do now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's I've just got the advantage of a few more years.
True. Also, you're a massive lover of Jane Austen, aren't you?
Yes. And history.
And all those jokes you lost on me as well. I grew up
And British history.
I remember when I was younger watching Simpsons, for example, and they're making references I wouldn't get because I was too young and too Australian. But knowing how the joke went, it's like, oh, they're referencing something that exists at the time. And if you knew the reference, you'd only get the joke, but I don't. But that's how the joke works.
And we joke about the laugh track, but there's a patter to it. And if the patter runs, then you kind of go, oh, okay, that's a joke. I don't 100% get it, but I get what they're trying to say. And I got a lot of that that's what it was like for me when I was younger watching it.
I don't know if you guys ever get this, but I definitely get this. And that's performative laughing when there's a laugh track.
It makes you laugh.
Especially when I'm around other people. I feel really anxious about watching shows like this with Angus specifically, because if I don't laugh, I'm like, oh, Angus is going to think I'm so stupid because I don't understand a thing. So, when in reality, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone else feels like that.
I think so, yes. Everyone feels like that. Jokes and you don't get it and I don't get jokes a lot.
I don't know. You've been on fire last, couple of months where you've just been, like, zingy and he's spicy at the moment. It's good.
I like something where it doesn't have a laugh track because I will laugh and it will feel sincere because it's not contrived. But I come from a family of big laughers, and so that we didn't necessarily laugh when we got told to laugh, but when we did laugh, we laughed loud and hearty. Yeah. And there was always a thing growing up, it would be like, I'd be watching something and I'd crack up laughing and Dad would come running in going, what are you watching? You know? And I, because I would do the same thing to Dad. Dad would be watching something and he'd be, Mum and Dad would be cracking up laughing. And it's like, what's that? What's that? Oh, that's Blackadder. Oh, that's Young Ones. Oh, that's... And it'd be, I'd get introduced to all of this stuff that way. Adrian's not a laugher. He's not a laugh out loud person. He will watch something and go, oh, yeah. Like, am I right? Yeah, like, he's not someone who will go...
that was very funny.
That was funny. I like watching that. And I'm going, but you didn't look like you were enjoying yourself. Oh, no, I was... Yeah, no, it was good. And I had to get used to that because I was like, oh, you don't like any of that stuff. Oh, no, I do like it. And I'm like, but you're not laughing. You're not laughing loud, you know? Because that's what my family does. Mm-hmm. But I think because we were such easy laughers, we didn't feel like we had to adhere to... what the TV told us we had to laugh, and we'd laugh when we chose to laugh, you know?
I'm a relatively big laugher as well, I think, but I don't get that performance anxiety about laughing.
I'll hear you laugh sometimes. I'm like, what are you laughing at? Share the joke. Oh, no, no.
I've had times in my life where people would kind of almost try to shame me for my laugh, and I'm like, so you're uncomfortable with me being happy? Is that what's happening here? Like, nah.
I think I was shamed for not laughing, and I think that's what the difference was, is that if I didn't laugh, someone would be like, oh, did you not get that joke?
That's
so funny. Yeah. You should be laughing. And I'll be like, no, I didn't get the joke. Mm. Or, oh, I did, I just didn't feel like laughing. Yeah, sort of thing. Yeah. And so it's kind of like just a reaction rate. Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah. It was funny. This is funny.
And I guess with Adrian, he would be like, he wouldn't laugh, but it would be like, oh, you didn't enjoy that, you know? And he's like, no, I enjoyed it. I just don't feel the need to laugh loud, or laugh out loud. I can just enjoy it to myself and that's fine.
Yeah.
When you feel like I have to show that I laugh to show that I get the joke, whether I find it funny or not.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, that's really
Yeah. Laughing should just be spontaneous.
Yeah.
Heartfelt.
So what kind of food was this one, Angus?
Oh, good Lord. This has got to be a good old-fashioned meat mince pie. Mrs. Higgins pie shop.
Mr. Miggins pie shop.
Ham, cheese, lots of ham.
Long pig. No.
See, now that would have been a Sweeney Todd reference.
Yes.
Yeah, it was,
A long pork.
Correct.
Yeah.
I thought the pies were... I don't know, maybe, because I didn't realise... I definitely
think it was slightly, not like...
I don't think, I think it was
slightly alluding to it.
I don't know.
But then I don't understand the idea of having a pie shop where people sell pies for you to eat, but that must be an English thing.
Oh, it is. There are pie shops still.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can go to a pie shop, and they'll. But they're not the same as an Australian pie. Like, they're served in a pot.
Well, no, not always.
Not always. No.
That one we went to was fancy.
Lisa, pie shop. I'd be so surprised by American pies because they're not anything like in the TV show or in England.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some might call them pizzas.
Oh, like a deep dish type of thing.
No. They're
pizzas. Just
they're literally pizzas, but they call them pies in America.
Like they say pizza pie, don't they?
Yeah, pizza pie.
And sometimes they just drop the pizza and refer to the same thing.
Do you want to go get a slice of pie?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I cut you off, Jeanette, while you were talking.
I was going to say, you don't go into a pie shop in England and ask for a meat pie. Mm. That's like, what kind of meat pie? Leonie and I had a very confusing experience going into the pie shop down on the corner in our first few days in England, asked for a meat pie, and the woman looked at us in a very Cockney accent, asked us what kind of pie, love? And she started going through all the pies. And we're like, the steak and kidney, there's beef and onion, there's curry, chicken, that. But the plain meat pie is Australian.
I think
objectively the best meat pie.
My sister-in-law and brother-in-law run a bakery, and she's been known to throw that at me before. What type of pie do you want? Oh, just a meat pie. And she's like, well, I do have several types of meat pies. Yeah. And I'm like, just throw it at a meat pie.
Give me what I want. I'll go to Balfour's.
Surprise pie.
Okay. Well, that was Blackadder.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next month another mystery.
A mystery podcast.
Whose turn is it? It's new year, isn't it?
Not mine.
There is that feeling when you just go, right, I've done my dash.
Yeah. We'll work it out.
Yeah.
Just say,
bye.
Bye.
Bye.